This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Allahumma zidna ilma wa la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahma innaka antal wahhab. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts to His remembrance and to accept this gathering from us and make it purely for His sake. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to internalize what we hear and what we study together of the second part of Surah Al-Mulk that we started last time 2 weeks ago. So just to recap briefly, we started Surah Mulk, a very special surah that will intercede in the grave and protect from punishment of the grave, that will intercede on the Day of Judgment till the person enters Jannah. And it is a special surah that the Prophet ﷺ used to recite every night, according to some narrations, and that he wished that all of his ummah would carry it in their hearts. And as we said, the surah first started with the most blessed is Tabarak alladhi bi yadihi al-mulk, the one who has the dominion, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that He is in absolute and complete control of everything, that He is the one who created life and death to see who is the best of actions. And He tells us to reflect on the heavens, that He created the seven heavens, and that we should reflect and find any fault with it, and we would get fatigued. And He tells us that He decorated the lowest heavens with the stars, which are also used besides beautification for chasing away the shayateen who try and reach beyond what they're permitted, and also, as we learned, as a guide for the travelers at night. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the people who disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the hellfire for them. The punishment of the hellfire mentioned quite vividly in multiple ayats about the sound that the hellfire will make, and it'll be ready to burst out just like fuel is being thrown into the fire, because the fuel of the hellfire is men and stones, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that it will be burning with fury. And as the keepers, the angels who guard it, keep throwing crowds of people in there, they will ask them, "Didn't a warner come to you?" And they will say, "Yes, he came," and they will acknowledge it. And then they will say, we said that, you know, you're a liar, and we denied them. And then they will show their regret. They said, "If we had used our minds, if we had used our intellect, we would not be in this predicament of the hellfire." And they will confess their crimes. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us that scene, and then He gives us the opposite scene where He says, "And those who have reverent awe and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and standing, who have that yaqeen that they will stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for them Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiveness and ajrun kabir, a great reward." So that is the end of ayah number 12 that we covered last week. So with that brief recap, inshallah, we will start with ayah number 13. And now the ayahs that are coming are ayahs where we need to reflect. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Wa asirru qawlakum awijharu bihi innahu alimun bidhati sudur." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Wa asirru qawlakum." And if you make secret what you say, your words, awijharu bi, or you are jahar, you are loud and apparent with them. In other words, whatever you want to say, whether it's secretly said or loudly said. إِنَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِذَّاتِ الصُّدُورِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, indeed, He knows even what is inside your hearts. So whether you try and hide it, there is nothing hidden. There is nothing secret from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because He not only knows what you have said, but He also knows what's in your heart, what you are thinking, what you have not even expressed by your words. So He knows your intentions, He knows your plans, He knows your thoughts, what is within the chest. Everything is fully known to Him. It's like an open book. And He knows it better than we know ourselves. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in this ayah, it's sort of a challenge, that no matter what you do, what you say or think, it is not a secret from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, what should that do to you? Therefore, logically, if you know that and you believe in that, then you should make the right choices at all times, in all places, in all, under all circumstances, in your thoughts. Your thoughts should be righteous. Your words should be righteous. Your actions should be righteous, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows all of it. So if you're a thinking, intelligent person, make the right choices. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the next ayah, أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقَ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks a question. أَلَا يَعْلَمُ Does he not know who? مَنْ خَلَقَ The one who created. Does he not know his creation? I mean, we know if you make something, you are the best in control of it. You know everything of its details. If you are an engineer, if you're an architect, so Allah created everything. Don't you think? Isn't it so obvious that He knows the details of everything? Of who He created, what He created. وَهُوَ مَنْ خَلَقَ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ And He is a Latif. A Latif is one of the special names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which has multiple shades of meanings. It is translated most often in the English language as subtle, which doesn't mean much, which means something that's hard to perceive. So Latif is also soft. Latif is also generous. Latif is also merciful. One who watches over every detail. He's detail-oriented. He shows His mercy in the minutest affairs of your life. That's a Latif. That when He shows His mercy, it may be so imperceptible, so subtle that you don't even notice that this is Allah. So He is Latif. Al-Latif, Al-Khabir. Khabir, one who is informed of everything. Again, highlighting what came before, that He knows even what is within you. So He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is taking care of every need of yours, of mine, with His lutf, with His merciful benevolence. Yet He is doing it from behind the scenes, that you don't see it obviously, because He is doing it from behind the veil, the curtain of asbab, of means. We see things happening, but we don't know who is behind. Inshallah, we know who is behind, but we don't see it. So these two ayat are speaking, as you know, two groups were mentioned, those who reject and those who يَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَيْبِ Those who are afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who have reverent awe. That these two ayats are speaking to both group of people. One that are being warned, who are under inzar, warning. The one who are prone to make bad choices, they are being warned by this, that He knows. And also the ones who have fear of Him, the people of Tabshir, of Bashara. They are being made aware that Allah knows that you are making the right choices. And therefore, your outcome is going to be a good outcome. It's going to be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. So both groups are being warned and given glad tidings through these two ayats. Next, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ ذَلُولًا فَمْشُوا فِي مَنَاكِبِهَا وَكُلُوا مِنْ رِزْقِهِ وَإِلَيْهِ النُّشُورِ. هُوَ الَّذِي, he is the one, جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ ذَلُولًا. Now the grammatical structure here altered to specify that he is the one who made exclusively for you the earth. Valulan. Valulan means something that yields to you, that submits to you, that offers itself for its service. So Allah says that he is the one who made the earth valulan, yielding to you, to make it easy for you to live on it. Now let's reflect on that. What does that mean? That Allah made the earth soft, so you can dig it. You can cultivate and grow things in it. You can use it to build for construction, for farming, and many other uses. If he wanted, he could have made it only all jagged rocks. He made most of the earth flat and plain for you to travel easily. Yet he put mountains to stabilize it. Can you imagine if it was only cliffs and mountains everywhere? How difficult it would be. If the earth was only rocks, what would you be able to grow? Or even worse, suppose Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made this earth made out of iron. Or let's go richer. If the earth was made out of gold, pure gold, the whole earth, how would you live on it? What could you do with it? What would the temperature be of that gold with the sun shining on it? Yet, he did not make it like that. And on the other hand, he did not make it so soft that you cannot walk on it. Can you imagine if it was like the sand dunes or like, you know, what is it, the quicksand, that you couldn't walk on it. Every foot you put, you sunk in it. How difficult would it be? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just reminding us by us, just look at this earth, he made it dhalulan. Yet we take everything for granted, unaware of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what it could have been. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after reminding us of this, he says, famshu fi manakibiha. Famshu means travel, walk around, walk through the earth. Manakibiha, through its various regions, through its mountains, through its valleys, through its plains. Manakib comes from, mankab means shoulders, you know, things that stick out, so the mountains that stick out. The sides, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, some of the mufassirun, the scholars of tafsir, have said that this refers to mountains because they stick out, they're strong. And the valleys, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, travel through the earth, through the mountains, through the valleys, through the plains. وَكُلُوا مِنْ رِزْقِهِ, and eat of his rizq, of his provision. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, travel, seek all type of your rizq. Rizq is the provisions. And under provision is everything that you need. And we'll talk about it in a minute. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves people who make an honest effort for acquiring their rizq, and yet they put their trust, they have tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An example of this is, one time Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu an, Amir al-Mu'mineen, came to Masjid al-Nabawi and he saw people sitting there, not doing anything, they were just sitting there. He said, and who are you people? They said, we are mutawakkilun. We are the people of tawakkul. Means we are just sitting here, Allah will, we have tawakkul, Allah will provide for us. And he said, no, you are muta'akkilun. You are those who are just waiting for food to come, you are the freeloaders. In other words, he encouraged them, go and seek your rizq. Okay. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa ilayhin nushur. In other words, go, travel the earth, seek your rizq, but remember, ilayhin nushur. Again, the grammatical structure, ilayhin, giving precedence, only to him alone, is your nushur, your resurrection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us not to forget the day of judgment when we travel in the earth, when we see the beauty of the earth, when we enjoy the blessings of the earth, when we are seeking his rizq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, keep that always in the back, in fact, in the front of your mind, that you're constantly moving, traveling towards the day of judgment. So don't ever forget that, because that will keep you from doing what you might regret on the day of judgment as you enjoy the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, travel through the earth, seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rizq, eat, use it, enjoy, and one day you will be gathered back to him, your resurrection. Nashara actually means to spread. So some of the scholars have said that from that little tailbone, when Allah puts everything together, this body will unfold, nashara, unfold and gather. And some have said that on the day of judgment, people will then be spread out into different groups. So the nashara means spread out into different groups. The people of the right, the people of the left, the people in the forefront. Then the grouping according to who followed which messenger, and so on and so forth. So that is this ayah. Then after this comes ayah number 16. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking some questions. And these ayahs are ayahs of warning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ayah number 16, أَأَمِنْتُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ أَنْ يَخْصِفَ بِكُمُ الْأَرْضَ فَإِذَا هِيَ تَمُورَ أَأَمِنْتُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ. A question. Do you feel secure? Allah is addressing mankind, especially the kuffar. Do you, this is a direct address without telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tell them, and that will come later in the surah. Amintum, do you feel secure that the one who is in the heavens? Now, don't take that literally, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not contained in the heavens or the earth or in his creation. He is above, astawa alal arsh. But what is meant by this figuratively is the one who is above you, when he says in the heavens. Because no heaven can contain Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The heavens are his creation. So do you feel secure that the one who is in the heaven, أَن يَخْسِفَ بَيْكُمُ الْأَرْضِ, that he will not cause the earth, يَخْسِفَ means to make you sink into the earth to swallow you. Do you feel secure that you're walking on this earth, that you are so secure, because it feels so secure? Before that, the ayahs of the earth had come of, he has made it for you, you know, ghalulan, submitting to you. But don't take it for granted, because Allah tells us that the earth can swallow you just like the oceans can swallow you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the example. I hope some of you remember that there was among the Israelites at the time of Musa alayhi salam, a person who was related to him who was very arrogant and proud about his wealth. And his name was Qarun. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran that the earth opened and swallowed him and the people with him that were like him and all of his wealth. Then interestingly, it is also mentioned in the Bible in the chapter called Numbers under the name of Korah, that the earth swallowed him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the earth, don't feel secure that you are here and there's no one in charge. Allah has shown us examples of the quicksand. He has shown us sinkholes that we see. And on a larger scale, if we look at the history of the earth, There were supercontinents that disappeared. There were super oceans that were swallowed back in. So there have been cycles of millions of years of supercontinents and super oceans where portions of the earth get interned. Oceans get interned into the earth and something else comes up. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't feel secure that the earth will not swallow you and doing all the disobedience. فَإِذَا هِيَ تَمُورُ. And he says, when it shakes like a quake and it becomes level. So, you know, the example is, you know, if we take a big sack of grain and we're taking, using a cup, you know, digging out some wheat, for example, or rice, and you put the cup in and the rice slowly starts to come on top of it. And if you shake it, it just covers it as if nothing existed. So that's the example that we could get swallowed up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving a warning that don't be so arrogant and don't feel so secure that the earth on which you travel will not swallow you up. Then another warning comes. أَأَمِنْتُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ أَنْ يُرْسِلَ عَلَيْكُمْ حَاسِبًا فَسَتَعْلَمُونَ كَيْفَ نَذِيرٌ. Or do you feel secure that the one who is in the heaven, أَنْ يُرْسِلَ عَلَيْكُمْ حَاسِبًا, that he will not unleash from above you and send like a raging storm of stones, of lethal pellets that will rain down on you like hail. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the rain come down. We experience that. He makes the small hail come down. He makes the big hail come down. And he can rain stones, which he has at times, like on the people of Lut alayhi salam and so. You know, baked clay pellets came. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, why do you feel so secure that if you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this will not be your fate? That he will rain on you stones. فَسَتَعْلَمُونَ كَيْفَ نَذِيرٌ. So that finally you come to know by experiencing that of how true was my warning. Kaifa nadiri. It's come nadiri. Nadiri. What kind was my warning? And it can also mean my warner. In other words, take the warnings seriously. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us two warnings. In the next ayah number 18, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ كَذَّبَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَكَيْفَ كَانَ نَكِيرٌ. And indeed, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning for the kuffar of Makkah, because it's a Makkan surah, and for kuffar of all times, and for all of humanity. وَلَقَدْ كَذَّبَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. That your denial of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not unique, because there were indeed people who denied Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before them, before these people, the Quraysh. Allah mentions the past histories of previous nations. That indeed those who came before them also denied Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They denied his revelations. They denied his messengers who came before. They denied his warnings. And they challenged the messengers. They would say, bring on the punishment if you are true. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, then the punishment did come. And it came at his command, and it came on a time frame that he determined, not by their request. فَكَيْفَ كَانَ نَكِيرٌ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then how terrible and how awesome was my destruction, my rejection of them. How I denounced them, how I denigrated them, how I destroyed them, how I disgraced them, nakir, denied, as if they didn't exist. So the ones who were rejecting the truth became the ones who were rejected. So this ayah also implies that those who were rejecting the message would be subjected to the same or worse punishment and destruction in the dunya. And then what is waiting in the Akhirah is even worse. So this is for us also a reminder, because what we see sometimes we get impressed with. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, don't be fooled by those who disobey, who reject the truth. Don't be fooled by their worldly success, by their technological progress, by their military power, by their wealth. Those who reject this message, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can disgrace them and utterly destroy them in 1 second. Everything can change. And we see the tiny examples of this destructive power, the jalal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we experience paralyzing snowstorms, when we see volcanic eruptions, when we see earthquakes, when we see tsunamis, when we see tornadoes, hurricanes. No matter how sophisticated and powerful the nation is, it's brought on its knees. These are tiny, tiny soldiers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, learn from history. History is for learning. That there were nations that were much more powerful, that don't exist, that were destroyed. Destroyed only because they rejected the truth. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا إِلَى الطَّيْرِ فَوْقَهُمْ صَافَّاتٍ وَيَقْبِضْنَ مَا يُمْسِكُهُنَّ إِلَّا الرَّحْمَنُ إِنَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ بَصِيرٌ. So after looking at the earth and all of these phenomena, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us to look up into the heavens and marvel at the birds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا إِلَى الطَّيْرِ فَوْقَهُمْ. Do they not see above them the birds? صَافَّاتٍ وَيَقْبِدٍ. صَافَّاتٍ means spreading their wings, وَيَقْبِدٍ, pulling them back. Spreading them and pulling them back. Interestingly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first mentions the spreading. And if we study the mechanics of the birds, they spend more time with their spread wings spread out than withdrawn. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us that hint. And the, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do they not see the birds? Now, he just says birds. As some of you might know, when you look at the birds, there are more than 10,000 species of birds. And each one has a different flight pattern, different signature. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, look at them and study them. And science tells us that the flapping flight, where you have mobile wings, is much more difficult than fixed wing flights like we have on the airplanes, because the dynamics become unsteady when they are flapping. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, marvel at this. Who keeps them up? Because this is an interesting example, because through the ages and even today, starting from childhood, I don't know if you had the experience, we always wanted to fly. We like to be pilots. We dream, even in our dreams sometimes we are flying. Flying has always fascinated men. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, just look at the birds flying. And then he asks the question, who keeps them up? مَا يُمْسِكُهُنَّ إِلَّا الرَّحْمَنُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, who يَمْسِكُهُنَّ, who holds them up in the heaven except الرَّحْمَنُ. And he uses that this is his mercy, that he holds them up. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just tells us to ponder on this. What does it take to fly? Man, with all of his intelligence, how long it took him to learn to fly, to make things that can fly, and how they fail. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala adapted the birds for flight. They were made to fly. So let's look at some of the scientific facts. To be able to fly, you need to be light. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the bones of the birds hollow. And then he covered them with feathers, which are light. He did not give them teeth and a nose, because they are heavy to chew. So instead of that, he said, they will eat these hard things, these grains and these seeds, where they will not chew it, but he put a gizzard in their stomach, which will grind it right there. He made them lay eggs, so they don't have to carry the baby inside, that would make them heavy. And he made their diet tiny, but very rich in very high usable energy. Lot of calories in small quantities. He didn't give them bladders to carry urine in them and become heavy. So they excrete as soon as it's produced. And then, so made them light. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made their tails and the wings, the wing bones very small proportionately. And he attached the wing bones in the front to keep the center, because you need to have the center of gravity dead in the center to fly. So for the birds, when they spread their wings, the center of gravity is exactly between the wing tips in the center, and from the tip of their nose to the tip of their tails, that is exactly where the center of gravity is, dead center, so that it makes it easy for them to fly. Every part of the body is adapted to flying. Now, birds have lungs. They hold very little air, and they are kept flat against their back ribs. They don't take hold of the chest, because then the center of gravity would move down. But Allah has moved everything else into their chest. And then from those thin little lungs, there are air sacs in the belly, lower part, to keep it light so that the center of gravity is in the right place. And he made their lungs especially efficient to extract oxygens at high level. So when we see birds flying, as Allah tells us to look, you will see some birds flying with their necks stretched out forward, like the cranes. And some of them you will see flying with their necks pulled back, like that. This is like the herons. And why is that? Because just by moving their neck straight forward or back, they make the center of gravity exactly where they should be. Subhanallah. Now, Allah says, look how they fly. We have the big birds, albatross, which has thin, long wings. The albatross can glide and soar for 200 miles for hours without a single beat. On the other hand, we have hummingbirds this size that cannot rest their wings for a second. Do you know what's the frequency of the beating of the hummingbirds? Average 53 beats per second, as high as 80 and sometimes 100 have been recorded per second they are beating. And they're not just beating, it's a figure of eight like this. And the little bird, their heart rates are at 1,263 beats a minute. And these little hummingbirds that are this size, beating at that rate, they cross the Gulf of Mexico to come into Texas and ultimately to Canada. They fly non-stop 500 miles across the Gulf of Mexico in 20 hours. Multiply 20 hours by 60 minutes by 60 seconds and multiply that by 53 beats. No fueling, no stop, across the ocean they reach, across the Gulf of Mexico. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, look at that. Look at the flight patterns. The woodpeckers swoop down. The crow flies in a straight line. And the swallows dart in every which way they go. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, just look at that. Who holds them up? Who created them? Subhanallah. A lot for us to be humbled with. Illa ar-Rahman. This is ar-Rahman. Innahu bi kulli shay'in basir. And indeed, he sees everything. He sees every bird. He sees every butterfly. He sees every insect in the darkness of the night. In the bottom of the ocean, he sees every fish. He sees every creature under the mountains. And of course, he knows everything about the best of his creation, which is al-insan. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about his knowledge, about his awareness, so that we become aware of him. Now we come to ayah number 20. After reflecting on this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أم من هذا الذي هو جند لكم ينصركم من دون الرحمن إن الكافرون إلا في غرور. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks a rhetorical question. The question, the purpose of this question is to remove the delusion of the disbeliever. Because the disbeliever only sees power and wealth and benefit in worldly means. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking a question. أَمَّنْ هَذَا الَّذِي جُنْدٌ لَكُمْ يَنْصُرُكُمْ. Do you feel safely secure? Which is that army that can come to your help and protect you from Allah and from eternal punishment? Which is the army? أَمَّنْ هَذَا الَّذِي جُنْدٌ لَكُمْ. Which is this army for you that can help you? مِنْ دُونِ الرَّحْمَانِ. Other than Ar-Rahman. Again, showing his mercy that in spite of this, Ar-Rahman is inviting you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, look in history. Look at the armies of Fir'aun, what happened to them? They drowned. Look at the armies of Alexander the Great. Gone, small island is left. Look at the armies of Napoleon. Gone. Look at the German armies. Gone. Look at the Roman legions. Gone. Look at the British Empire gone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, who can sustain you? All of these were given temporary hegemony, the power to dominate and leadership for a period of time by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, come back to Ar-Rahman. Do you have a backup plan? Can anyone protect you? The answer is no. إِنِ الْكَافِرُونَ إِلَّا فِي غُرُورٍ. Indeed, Al-Kafirun are in ghurur, in delusion. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses kafirun, which is the verb, is the noun, as opposed to man yakfuru, the verb, because the noun is permanent and verb keeps changing. Means kafirun, those who will remain disbelievers. Those who were disbelievers in the past, who persisted, those who will come, not just the Quraysh, but even in the future. The kafirun, they always live in this false reality of just thinking the dunya will do this for them. They are fi ghurur. Ghurur means complete delusion. They're completely deceived. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word al-gharur. Al-gharur means the one who deceives. And Allah uses that for shaitan and his forces, and people who are like shaitan, who deceive people. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, the kafirun are fi ghurur, they are immersed, they are fully surrounded in delusion, they are self-deluded. In spite of all of the evidence, all of the favors and blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they deny, and they are still going off wrong assumptions. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks another rhetorical question. أَمَّنْ هَذَا الَّذِي يَرْزُقُكُمْ إِنْ أَمْسَكَ رِزْقَهُ بَلْ لَجُّوا فِي عَتُوبٍ وَنُفُورٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again wants to remove that delusion, the deceit of the disbeliever. Do you feel secure that your rizq, and as we said, rizq is every provision, everything that you need to be sustained to live, whether it's your food. Because sometimes you only think risk means money. It's your food. It's your drink. It's the air that you breathe. It's the shelter, the protection, the clothes, the wealth, the health, the family, the offspring, the companionship. Everything that you need is your risk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمَّنْ هَذَا الَّذِي يَرْزُقُكُمْ إِنْ أَمْسَكَ رِزْقَهُ. Who is the one who will provide you in أَمْسَكَ رِزْقَهُ, if he withholds it. If he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, were to withdraw or to withhold from you his rizq, because it all belongs to him, it is sent down from him from the heavens, from the sama. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Zariyat, he says, وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُعَدُونَ. And it's in the heavens that is your provision. It is there, and that which you were promised. Now what do we see coming down from the rain? We don't see things coming down except things like rain. And rain and rizq have parallels. Because rain itself is a rizq, water. Because water gives life. Without water, there would be no life. But rizq is similar. Rain is unpredictable. Your rizq is unpredictable. When the rain is going to come, when your rizq is going to come. Where the rain is going to come, when, where your rizq is going to come from. And you, there is no control of the rain with anyone except with Allah. Similarly, there is no control of rizq with anyone except with Allah. So Allah is reminding us by asking this question, who will provide for you rizq if Allah pulls it back? But then the answer is obviously no one except Allah. Then he says, بَلْ لَجُّوا فِي عُتُوٍ وَنُفُورٍ بَلْ نَيْ لَجُّوا. Allah denies their position. He said, لَجُّوا means they persist, they insist, they argue adamantly. They're stubborn. It's like, you know, like when you have a lawyer that keeps arguing in court, they're like that. They keep arguing against all the evidence that Allah has presented. فِي عُتُوٍ, because they are immersed in, عُتُوٍ means opposition. Opposition to the truth. وَنُفُور, in their arrogance, in their disobedience. And nufur also means something that is scattered, that run away, that rebel, because of their severe aversion to the truth. Because that truth goes against everything they like. Everything that they are used to. So here we have to think, do we sometimes behave like this as Muslims? That the truth is presented to us and we run away from it. Because then we have to look inside us for traces of nifaq. Because it is said that the completion of iman is to trust what is in the hand of Allah more than what is in your hand. That you have greater trust in what Allah possesses of your rizq than what has already been in your hand, in your possession. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. إِنَّ اللَّهَ, indeed, verily, surely, it is Allah alone. Huwa, only He, ta'kid after ta'kid after ta'kid, stressing, Ar-Razzaq, the supreme provider. Ar-Razzaq, not just Razik, Ar-Razzaq, the supreme provider of everything for every creature's need. Dhul Quwwah, the owner of power. Al-Mateen, mighty in strength, able to do what he wants. Ayah number 22, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمَّنْ يَمْشِي مُكِبًّا عَلَىٰ وَجْهِهِ أَهْدَىٰ أَمَّنْ يَمْشِي سَوِيًّا عَلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala compares the two. He says, أَفَمَنْ يَمْشِي مُكِبًّا عَلَىٰ وَجْهِهِ. Then is the one who walks on his face. Kibban means something upside down. So we walk on our feet, you put it down, you're somebody who's walking on his face. Ahda, more guided than أَمَّنْ يَمْشِي سَوِيًّا عَلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Who is walking upright, upright, سَوِيًّا عَلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ, on the straight path. Who is more rightly guided? The answer is obvious. We don't have to answer. The one who walks upright on a straight path, is one group, the ones who do that, and the other is who is on his face. Now, some of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya Rasulullah, who walks on their faces? And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the one who created you and made you walk on your face, on your feet, can make you walk on your face. Like a dog, keeping his, sniffing along the ground, looking for his rizq, as opposed to one who walks upright, noble, as a human being. Also, as we know from the hadith on the Day of Judgment, that the kafirun who are being thrown into Jahannam will be dragged on their faces into Jahannam. So that is also the end result. Are those people or those who are rightly guided? Who is more rightly guided? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. So the face represents the symbol of arrogance. That those who turned up their noses in arrogance will be humiliated on that day. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, one is guided and allowed to use his hearing, his seeing, his perceptions, versus the opposite, who is not guided, because he is only guided by his desires. He follows only his desires. So after these ayats, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala switches the mode of address in multiple ayahs that will start with Qul. It's telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you tell them, O Messenger. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala no longer wants to address the kafirun directly in the second person like he was doing, because this is a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's displeasure with them. So he's saying, you tell them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And yet, he is conveying the message to them still out of his rahmah. He still wants them to take heed. So then what does he do out of his rahmah? He asks the best of his creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to convey to them the message of the truth and the warning, as he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the most effective communicator, the best. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ayah number 23, قُلْ هُوَ الَّذِي أَنْشَأَكُمْ وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَ قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. قُلْ, say to them, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, هُوَ الَّذِي أَنْشَأَكُمْ, he is the one who brought you into being by his mansha, by his will, he created you. وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْأَفْئِدَ. And he is the one who made for you the ability to listen, to hear, to decode what is coming through the sound waves. Hearing. And أَبْصَرَ, the ability to see. وَالْأَفْئِدَ, he gave you hearts for you to comprehend, to recognize his signs, and gave you that noble container, which is the seat of Iman, which is the seat of emotion, which is the seat of love, which is the seat of inclination, which is the seat of passion, which is the seat of taqwa. He gave you that to filter all of the information that's coming from your eyes and ears and what you hear and what you see. Filter it properly, have the right filters so that you recognize your Lord and you recognize his grace and blessings upon you. And he says, قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. قَلِيل, very few of you are grateful. And even those who are grateful, they're very deficient in their gratitude, even when they are thankful. It's like a complaint that we are ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who recognize all of his ni'mah, which we can't, and be thankful to him morning and evening. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, that we know and that we do not know. And let us not be among those who are qaleelan ma tashkurun, that few of you are people of shukr. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them, third person, tell them, قُلْ هُوَ الَّذِي ذَرَأَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَإِلَيْهِ تُحْشَرُونَ. Reminding them again of his blessings, he gave you these blessings. قُلْ هُوَ الَّذِي, again say to them, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is the one who ذَرَأَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, who multiplied you, who spread you, who scattered you in the earth. ذَرَ, the word ذُرِّيَة, you know, your offspring comes from the same root. That he is the one who multiplied you, who spread you on this earth, scattered you in this earth. And then remember, وَإِلَيْهِ تُحْشَرُونَ. and to him alone. Again, the structure is ilayhi. Not tuhsharuna ilayhi, but ilayhi tuhsharun. To him alone you will be gathered. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word tuhsharun as opposed to turja'un, to your return, because he started by, he scattered you. So the more proper word would be, he will gather you together. This is the choice of words of the Quran that Allah uses. Ayah number 25, that in spite of all of these reasons, rational reasons, the reminders, the emotional appeals that Allah gave you everything that you have, that you should believe in him, be grateful to him. Now comes the response of the disbelievers. وَيَقُولُونَ مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعْدُ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ Now comes the response of the disbeliever. What does he say? He says, وَيَقُولُونَ And this, the structure here is وَيَقُولُونَ It's a present continuous tense. In other words, this was said before, this is said now, this will continue to be said. This will be the response of the people who don't believe, who are not grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is only one response they have. One of arrogance, one of mockery, and one of defiance. What do they say? Mata hadha al-wa'd. And the word mata means when, will be this promise that you make, that we will all be gathered together, that we will all come together. There is a day of judgment. When, but the word mata here is used sort of as a ridicule. It means you're making a joke. Oh, so when is it? So when is it? Also to confront. Okay, when is it? Bring it on. You know, that sort of arrogant attitude. And then they say, in kuntum sadiqun. In kuntum sadiqun. If you all are truthful. Use the plural. In other words, they're telling Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they're telling his companions, and they're telling in the future, anytime that the believers invite the disbelievers to the truth, they say, you guys, we don't believe you're telling the truth. But if you are telling the truth, we think you are liars. But if you are telling the truth, bring it on. When is this gathering? So this is one way of challenging, of ridicule, because elsewhere in the Quran they have said, they actually said, bring Allah's punishment if you are truthful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then teaches us how to react to these insults and challenges. That you do not argue with people like that. That you don't respond to every single thing they say. Okay, you said this, so I'll respond here. That you stay level. Because you're on the truth. You don't lose control. You don't get provoked. You don't get angry. You stay calm. You keep control of the discussion. You keep control of the narrative. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to respond. He says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tell them what? Innama al-ilma indallah. You're asking, when is it? Just say, the knowledge, the exclusive, innama, the exclusive knowledge is only with Allah. I don't know when it will be. I know it is near because Allah tells us. But the exclusive knowledge is only with Allah. Even the one who's going to blow the trumpet, Israfil, does not know when it is. And then say, وَإِنَّمَا أَنَا نَذِيرٌ مُّبِينٌ And I am only a warner. A clear warner. I give you a clear warning. And I'm not warning you as somebody who's threatening you. Because knowing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, knowing Ar-Rahman has sent Rahmatul lil Alameen, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, out of mercy, I'm warning you because I'm looking for your benefit. I'm looking for your protection. I'm looking for your welfare. And I'm conveying this warning to you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from Ar-Rahman, who's mentioned four times in surah as Ar-Rahman. This is the message of truth. And my conveyance is out of concern and compassion for you. I give you the message clearly. I'm giving you a detailed, unequivocal message with clarity. I am a nadhirun mubeen, clear warner. And yet, I am not a wakil over you. I am not an authority over you. My job is to clearly convey the message to you. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, responds to these people, that they were asking about this day, the knowledge is with Allah, but look what happens when that day will come. فَلَمَّا رَأَوْهُ زُلْفَةً سِيئَتْ وُجُوهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَقِيلَ هَذَا الَّذِي كُنْتُمْ بِهِ تَدَّعُونَ فَلَمَّا So when, it's not saying if that day, so when رَآهُ, when they see the reality of that day. And the verb used is in the past tense for a future event. And that's the style of the Quran, that when certainty, guarantee has to be given, Allah uses past tense verb, as if something has already happened, yet it is in the future. That it is definitely. When they see the reality of Zulfatan coming so close to them, that now all the signs are there that the day of judgment is coming. See at wujuhu alladhina kafaru. The faces of the kafir will be stricken with grief, with distress, darkness of anxiety and depression, like someone who's being taken for, you know, to the execution chamber. That's what their faces will become. Right now they're arrogant, they're making fun of it. The kafir, Allah says the kafir. Kafir means the one who is ungrateful. And the ultimate of ungratefulness is the one who denies the one who gave him everything, who created him. And then when that day comes and their faces now they see it, they believe it, then to drive the point home for emphasis, وَقِيلَ, and it will be said. قِيلَ, مَجْهُول, not known. Who will say? The sound will come. What will the sound be? هَذَا الَّذِي كُنْتُمْ بِهِ تَدَّحُونَ. This is what you kept calling for repeatedly. Tadda'un. Not tad'un, tadda'un. You kept repeating, asking, because you believed it would never be. And the word hadha, hadha alladhi, is for emphasis. This is it. This is what you wanted. This is what you denied. Well, here it is. May Allah protect us from that and from being in the people who have doubt. Going back to, now after responding to this, again Allah tells the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, قُلْ, ayah number 28. قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ أَهْلَكَنِيَ اللَّهُ وَمَنْ مَعِيَّ أَوْ رَحِمَنَا فَمَنْ يُجِيرُ الْكَافِرِينَ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. قُلْ, say to them, O Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, أَرَيْتُمْ إِنْ أَهْلَكَنِيَ اللَّهُ مَنْ مَعِيَ أَوْ رَحِمَنَا. Have you considered, do you not think, do you not see, if Allah were to take my life, make me halak, take my life, وَمَنْ مَعِيَ, and those who are with me. If Allah were to take my life, as you wish, because you wanted me dead, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that's what they wanted. You wanted me destroyed. If Allah were to destroy me and all those who are with me, أو رحمنا, or He were to show mercy upon me by sparing us. That is my concern. It's not your concern. However, what you should be concerned about, فَمَنْ يُجِيرُ الْكَافِرِينَ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Who will grant safety and protection to the kafir, to you, from the painful punishment and the suffering? Worry about yourself, not about us. Because we all have to die. But then what? Oh, rahimana, or Allah has mercy on us. He spares us for a period of time because we have to die. So we should note here that one manifestation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah is manifested as a long life of good deeds. When Allah gives a person a long life in which he is doing good deeds, that's his rahmah. But if a long life is given and the person is doing sins, that's an adab. That long life is an adab. In ayah number 29, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلْ هُوَ الرَّحْمَنَ آمَنَّا بِهِ وَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا فَسَتَعْلَمُونَ مَنْ هُوَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ قُلْ, say to them, O Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He is Ar-Rahman. Like we said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned Ar-Rahman 4 times in this Tabarak. It started with Tabarak. The surahs with Tabarak have frequently Ar-Rahman with it. Ar-Rahman, He is Ar-Rahman, the most merciful, the source of all mercy. Amanna bihi, we believe in Him. We believe in Him the way it is, and we also believe in the other Arkan, the imans of the pillars of Iman. Like we believe in the Day of Judgment, we believe in the Revelation, we believe in the Anbiya, we believe in the life after death, we believe in the destiny. But first we believe in Him. وَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا And our belief in Him is manifested by our trust. That it is عَلَيْهِ, again that structure of putting it in front, exclusively only in Him, عَزَّ وَجَلْ, we put our trust. That's our situation. فَسَتَعْلَمُونَ مَنْ هُوَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ And so, as a consequence of your kufr, you will soon come to know who was in dalala, who was in misguidance, who was in error, mubeen, clear. Nadirun mubeen came before, here dalalun mubeen. In spite of all of that, you are still clearly misguided. We have taken a position, our stances, we believe in Ar-Rahman, and we put our trust in Him. You have no leg to stand on. And you will find out. You think we are misguided. You will find out who is in clear misguidance. Who is the one who is in error. قُلْ The last ayah. قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ أَصْبَحَ مَاءُكُمْ غَوْرًا فَمَنْ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِمَاءٍ مَعِينٍ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, say to them, O Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, have you considered, have you thought, telling the kafir what? Araytum in asbaha ma'ukum ghawra. If you wake up one morning and you find no water, because your water has suddenly sunk into the earth, gone, ghawr, sunk deep into the earth. That Allah has put water for you as a blessing. Suppose He were to suck it back in, as we talked about the super oceans that have disappeared. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, have you considered if you woke up one morning, you find no water, because it has suddenly sunk deep into the earth. فَمَنْ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِمَاءٍ مَعِينٍ Who would bring you fresh, clean, flowing water? Water that gives life. The Prophet ﷺ, in response to this question, at the end of the surah, he used to answer, Allahu Rabbul Alameen. Who will bring you water? He would say, Allahu Rabbul Alameen. Because water, my dear brothers and sisters, is the most valuable and life-sustaining and life-giving blessing and an asset. And therefore, it also providing clean drinking water to people is the best of sadaqah, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us. And this is especially important for the Meccans, because it should have been vividly clear to the Meccans, the Quraysh, because their whole city, their whole civilization was based on water, because it only got habitated because of the presence of Zamzam, of water. And Allah says, just like it came out, suppose it were to disappear, what would you do? A stark reminder of His blessings. So the surah, as you remember, started with بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ the dominion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in His hands. And it ends by giving just one example of it. The practical example of a single blessing that He, by His hand, He gives you water. What if He takes it away? controls it. The dominion is in his hand. And the surah started by giving us, telling us that he created life and death as a test to see who will pass the test, who will believe, and who will face. Ahsanu amal, who will do the right deeds. And it ends by telling us the end of those who fail in the test. See at wujuhul, that their faces will be dark in distress. Adab in aleem, in painful punishment. So the end of the surah ties in with the beginning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes with that, this beautiful surah, which should strengthen our iman, which should give us confidence in the truth. Look at all the arguments. It should help us reflect on everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked us to reflect on. The heavens, how they are created, the earth, how it's spread, the consistency of the earth, the mountains, the water that's flowing on the earth, the birds that's flying in the air, and the stars that are in the heavens, the meteors that are being thrown. All of that point to Ar-Rahman. Aman Nabi. We believe in him. And we show our belief by doing, as he said, who does ahsanu, the best of deeds. And with tawakkalna, we put our trust in him. And we depend on him for our risk, that he will provide the risk. He doesn't ask us for risk to provide risk. He will provide risk. He has given us one job, which is to believe and to do everything that comes with that belief of ubudiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of worshipping him as he deserves, alone. In the way of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of his ibad, the best of his creation. That's the only way. And then we put our trust that if we act according to this surah, it will intercede on our behalf in front of Allah on the Day of Judgment. It will protect us from the punishment of the grave. So let us internalize this surah, let us memorize this surah, let us know every word of the surah, let us recite it every night, and let us act by it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who listen and obey, those who act upon it, and may he not make us among those who listen and forget and continue life as usual with no impact of the most powerful words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on our life, on our character, on our plans, on our thoughts, on our words and our actions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among the ones who listen and obey, who out of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger do what pleases them in the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته